I'm Derek.
And I'm George.
Never kick a fresh turd on a hot day.
Taking a shot at some arrogant smug.
Hypocrite.
Come on, man.
You're listening to Derek and George Live. Check the tag. We're made in America.
My old man, that old man, spent his life living off the land. Dirty hands and a queen soul. It breaks his heart seeing foreign cars filled with fuel it isn't ours. And wearing cotton we didn't grow. He's got the red, white, blue, blind hound farm. Never fight tattooed on his left arm. Spend a little more in the soul for a tag. In the back it says USA. He won't buy nothing that he can't fix. With WD-40 and a Craftsman wrench. He ain't prisoner.
Welcome to the Derek and George Live Show right here on Blog Talk Radio and the Road Less Traveled Internet Ministry, as well as YouTube. You over there looking at the little birds there,
like
aren't you, in the
they're
studio?
They're soft.
They are soft. Those are that's
they're
the
like little birdies. Did you stuff some little canaries?
No,
like?
That's the little nest for Derek and Jess and the family nest. And Christine made those little eggs, although they're not to scale. Obviously, little birds like that wouldn't have big, giant eggs like that. So,
it's cute.
It's a symbol. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good.
Are you good?
I'm all right. I'm fair. I'm okay.
Okay, it's getting worse.
Yeah.
It's getting. I'm tired. I just don't know. Hey. You are listening to Derek and George Live. If you want to find out more about Derek and George, all you have to do is go to www.derekandgeorge.com. George, I wanted to ask you, what do you think of the screen there? Your new screen in the studio?
Look at that thing.
Little things popping up.
That's
there.
Beautiful.
Jimbo's running it there. Got the website up there. You can follow us on Derek and George.
You're getting so high tech.
I know
here.
It. At Facebook and Twitter as well. So lots of things going on. We're going to talk about all kinds of things today. But first, we've got to get to the birthdays. We have to get to the birthdays. There's the happy birthday sign right there.
Gonna have a party.
Hey.
What's that from? Who's?
I don't know.
That's a Beatles.
I wasn't paying attention to it. I wouldn't have known that anyway. I wouldn't have known that anyway, to be honest with you. I just.
It's kind of a revival.
Because it's the Beatles, and I hate the Beatles.
I know you said that, and that's you should not have anything associated with your name.
Yeah.
Made in America if you don't enjoy a good British group.
That doesn't make sense at all.
I know it doesn't.
That doesn't make sense at all.
But, no.
That's absolutely idiotic. You can't say that. Hey.
The Beatles took America.
You know what?
Before, man.
You know what?
What?
You hate the Queen.
I don't hate the Queen.
I love
the
Queen.
I am perplexed by the adoration that some people have for the
monarchy. That's me. I love it. It's historical. It's crazy interesting.
When I see that kind of stuff, I'm reminded of what my uncle said when I visited him in Iowa.
Yeah?
And
what did he say?
After Princess Di got killed in the car accident.
What did he say?
And all the media after that, he scratched the top of his head and kind of like, why do we have to listen to all this? I thought we kicked them out 220 years ago. Yeah,
we did.
Whatever. And
I was not a big. I am not so much. I don't really care who's sitting right now or the royal families. I'm not a big royal family follower.
Yeah.
I'm interested in the history of the monarchy, particularly the British monarchy.
Really? Okay. I don't know, don't care.
It's very, very interesting. Anyway.
Moving right along.
Right
it's
along.
January
Birthdays,
5th.
It is January 5th. No, it isn't. It's February 5th. February 5th, and it's been nice outside here. Yeah. So here's how we're going to do it.
Red buttons.
Here's how we're going to do it. We got the birthdays. Carney George here gets the guy or the lady, and then you're going to tell me how old Red Buttons, if they're dead, how old he was when he died.
Oh, wow.
How old did it? There's old Red. You know Red, don't you?
Oh, sure. He was in. Red Buttons was a famous actor, and I remember he was in a. I think John Wayne was in a safari movie. They rounded up.
Okay.
I think it was John Wayne. Yeah,
I don't
sure,
know.
But what was the name of that? Jim?
Jimbo said that. Yeah, he Jimbo verified. Might have been Safari.
It could have been something like
that.
Red Buttons.
How old is Red Buttons' birthday? Obviously, Red Buttons has passed.
How old was he when he died? I have no clue when he died.
Now, just to let you know, these pictures are obviously not at the age that...
Yeah, I'm going to say 90 years old, because I...
That's good. And here's what we usually do on Carney George. We give you plus or minus three.
Three.
Yeah. And so you fit in there. He was 87 years old. 87 years old. Today's birthday is also Hank Aaron. Hammer and Hank. How old is Hank Aaron? Still alive, obviously.
Okay. I've got to go with 74 years old.
Hank Aaron's 81 years old today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, born in 1934. 81 years old.
Yeah.
So that's pretty old for Hank. Did you watch Hank when you were... You're not a baseball fan, though.
What little I'm trying to think back, and that's what I always try and place is in relation to me, how old
right.
I am. So I just miss a mark.
Before my time. Also, today's birthday, Roger Staubach. Today is Roger's birthday.
Okay.
That's better. That's football. You can put that. You're
going
to get this one. Because you can put that one in there.
I can, yeah. But how old was he when he...
Hey, Jimbo, can you pull your cursor down just a little bit there? He's right in the middle of Roger.
71 years old.
71 years old. Roger Staubach is, let's see, when was Roger born? He is 73 years old.
Yep.
73 years old. You're good at this. Just really.
Thank you, Wonder Moore.
Just really good Carney George. Now here, I don't think you're going to know this next one, so you'll need the picture. Sarah Evans. Do you know Sarah Evans? You're not a big country and western.
I've seen a video.
I will let
too.
You know, though.
Wow.
Since I didn't know if you knew her, I actually picked a picture of her at her age. So that's her today. And today is her birthday. So how old do you think that she is?
Well, I'm going on. Is that strands of hair or neck wrinkles? That's strands of hair right there.
That's not neck wrinkles at all, man.
Wow. She's pretty snazzy little gal.
Sarah Evans, country western singer.
44.
Woohoo!
44
today. Yesterday she was 43. And I'm sure this picture isn't of her today.
I got it exactly right.
Yeah, how do you do that? That's amazing to me. I say that every week, but it's just absolutely amazing.
Wow, that is a really nice picture.
Sarah Evans.
Very lovely.
Yes, very, very lovely. We're going to talk about a number of things today.
Are they all lovely things?
Well, they're not. You know, and we did this a couple a couple shows ago, and I like it because it gives me an idea. Because when you come in and you sit down and you say, "How you doing today, G?" and you start off good and then go down to bad. And so we're going to do, and we've done this before, we're going to do another gut check on you. I'm going to do a gut check just to see where you are in your mental thinking right now. So we've got the big G gut check up. Do you like that gut check?
Boy, yeah.
Woohoo! And here's how the gut check works. We've done this before. It's rapid fire, okay? I'm going to give you 10 words, and you give them to me as fast as you can. And this is good. And they're going to be things that either happen during the week or we're going to be talking about. So it'll also let me know where are you on this.
Do I have to reply in a single word response?
Single word response.
Okay.
If you can't, that's okay. Give me a little phrase, but let me know where you are.
Try to keep it in the single word.
Today, okay?
Okay.
And obviously things that have happened in the past week or things that we are going to talk about today, all over the board, could be anything. All right?
Right. Okay.
Are you ready?
I am ready, my friend.
Big G's gut check in 3, 2, 1. Here we go. Tom Brady.
Not MVP.
Russell Wilson.
Excellent quarterback.
Pete Carroll.
What?
Katy Perry. That's your answer for Katy Perry? Your gut sucks. Mitt Romney. The state of Texas.
Employment.
Brian Williams from the NBC Nightly News.
Can't say it in one word. Liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging on a telephone wire.
50 Shades of Grey.
Book.
Scott Walker.
Conservative.
And the FCC, Federal Communications Commission.
Can't say it in one word. Stay out of the internet!
Stay out of the internet. That's the gut check for today. That's interesting.
Some of those were really tough.
They are. Those are the things that we're going to be talking about.
Everybody knows this is the biggest farce. Now, watching the Super Bowl,
sure.
I turned it off right away. I was like, how on earth did this happen?
Right.
It's mind-boggling.
It's unbelievable.
Seattle looked at a Super Bowl and said, let's not do this. No other way to put it. It blew my mind. And then I just shut it off. I'm so mad. I'm like, how did that happen? And I hear the announcers going, why would you? And I couldn't watch the rest.
I know.
I was like, how did that? So anyway, but then I'm starting to think, well, who's the MVP? Not going to be Brady. He threw two picks.
Right.
He really did not. It's got to be the kid.
The kid that made the interception.
Because everybody knows that is the.
Right.
When the game comes down to a play and you make some incident.
Right.
And then next day in the paper, there's Tom Brady smiling his MVP. Oh, I might give my red truck to this guy.
Yeah.
Well, good for you, Tom.
Couldn't believe it. Here's how bad of a call it was. My daughter, who absolutely knows nothing about football, when the play was over, turns to her husband and says, why didn't they just hand it to the running back? I mean, that's how bad it is. When an individual who knows absolutely nothing about a pass, a run, anything, says the obvious. And you heard Pete Carroll's, we thought we had the matchup.
Matchup, that always, I don't care, and Denver's does that a lot too, but Denver is a bit like New England in the dink and dunk, I call it, that little short pass game.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're down there, I'm old school football. I never like it. They score on it a lot, whatever, fine. I'm old school football. you hammer it in. Now, arguably, you have the best running quarterback as well in the NFL.
Right.
And you have Lynch, who I don't know. I'd have to see stats on negative plays.
Right.
But when they knew he was running, Lynch still got.
Right. And you're at now
and the
what?
The play before, he got 3.5.
What were you at? The half-yard line? 1.5? Something like that?
I just
I understand that during the regular season. I understand taking a shot. But not with 20-some seconds to go in the Super Bowl.
And you have a timeout.
And you have a timeout.
You have a timeout. So that was the big thing. And everybody that knows, even the pundits, like, it blew us away. We all... They aren't stopping him, even if they know you're going
to
run.
I said those exact words to my wife. I said it's over because all they have to do is give it to Lynch. They're not going to stop him. You could have put 12 in the box and not stop Marshawn Lynch.
Why do you become what you aren't?
They
are. And if you want to try and play, that's like sneaky, the disguise. Well, everybody knew Lynch, so that's why we did. No. That was whoever made the call, Terrell or the offensive coordinator, they also should have been up for the MVP of the Super Bowl.
And it didn't matter that you can put in the whole idea of, well, they're professionals, they should make the play. The play call was just
Those are highly dangerous plays.
The slant? A one-yard slant?
Inside, there's a zillion people around there.
Because nobody's 2 yards off of him. He's red-dogging him the whole time. It was just a horrible, horrible call, and they deserve
The scuttlebutt going around is it was because they didn't want Lynch to be like the guy, the MVP, because he's not as good of a black. You haven't heard that racial angle?
No.
Oh, yes.
No, I didn't hear that.
Uh-huh.
Really?
In fact, I believe it came from somebody in the Seattle Seahawks locker room that started a deal, and I heard it somewhere on the radio yesterday.
Well, I know Marshawn Lynch is up for a renegotiation of his contract.
You know, Russell Wilson is he's eloquent. He's
right.
Greater
really?
Image, and so
and that's coming from
so Seattle. So Pete
that's coming
Carroll
from in-house?
Him. Well, supposedly, who knows? Wanted him to because he's a better black man. Saying a racial angle, he better represents the Seahawks.
No
than Marshawn,
kidding.
Which I thought was a bunch of baloney. But anyway, crazy.
Crazy game.
Crazy game.
And after the game, I was trying to evaluate my intestinal reaction. And I was trying to figure out which one. Was I happy that the Seahawks lost? Was I sad and angered because the Patriots won? And really what I came down to was it was going to be a gut thing for me every time. It didn't matter what happened. It was going to be bad. If the Seahawks won, it was going to be bad. If the Patriots won, but I'll tell you what I did enjoy. And I enjoyed, I probably watched 3 minutes of the game and 2 minutes of it was the last 2 minutes. But I did watch the halftime show.
It became a good game.
Yeah, I didn't care. I said I wasn't going to watch it, and I didn't. But I did watch the halftime show. It was fantastic. Katy Perry. See, you're not giving credit where credit's due.
No, it was fine.
It was fine?
I don't watch a Super Bowl for any of that. I don't watch it for the commercials. I DVR. I zip through every commercial. Did not watch one commercial for the Super Bowl.
You're a communist. You're a communist. I don't. That's part of the American way, man.
Yeah, people say that. And you spend 4.5 hours watching the Super Bowl. I spent 2 hours and 10 minutes.
It's fine to go ahead.
I got better things to do than watch
now,
commercials.
My son-in-law and my daughter DVR'd it and flipped through it and watched the commercials. Skip the game.
Well, if you're
watch
in advertising,
the commercial.
Maybe you learn. Oh, that's dinner. You know, Now, I did see some they played that were bashing on commercials, the Nationwide
You know what? That's a lot. That's a lot like me saying, I enjoyed the 4th of July for the history of it. I think the fireworks are stupid.
Okay.
And
I don't
have
a problem with that.
But you're the huge fireworks guy.
To each his own. Some like fire. I like a big bang, man. I enjoy it. I like blowing things up.
You're wrong. You're just wrong. You know you're
started
wrong.
When I was a
you're
small child.
You're trying to pull yourself. You're wrong. Sit there in your wrongdom. It's about...
Wrong about what?
The Super Bowl is about the game. It's about the commercials.
No,
it's about
the
halftime.
Game. It's about all the hoopla that they do before. And this
absolutely.
Media day stuff making a big
it
thing.
It is a week-long
Sean
thing.
I think it's a travesty. They make every player march out there and talk.
Oh,
if a player doesn't want to talk to the media, let him
come
not talk.
On.
They
really?
Turn it into a
boy,
dog and pony show.
That escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
It jumped up a notch.
It did, didn't it?
No, they ask so many stupid questions in media. What's your favorite? Belichick, actually, what's your favorite stuffed animal? Who cares?
That was a little. That was a little girl reporter.
I don't care
she got
who
her,
it
she
was.
She got her.
It's ridiculous. Who cares?
That's
what
Media
animal.
Day is about.
I know,
is to
and it's
ask,
stupid.
Did you watch it?
No, I don't. I don't watch that crap.
Oh, see. You're bitter.
Yeah.
You're just bitter.
You know, not bitter. You know what my the adjectives my daughters have. Of course, my daughter got me under this grumpy exterior lies the heart of a dashing hero. That's my oldest daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Grumpy and crotchety.
Crotchety's fantastic.
Jessica,
that's a good one.
Crotchety.
Crotchety old man. That's
kind
of
like Jeff Dunham's. I kind of maybe I think
you
they think
are
of me as Jeff Dunham's Walter.
You are Walter.
I don't like it. The commercial.
I think it's good. Does New England repeat next year? Do you think that's? I'm
if
kinda,
they do, I'll never watch football again. I swear.
Really?
Yeah. It's just. It's
I
horrible.
Thought it was.
That was horrible.
Yeah,
was horrible.
I was kind of glad Seattle lost because I don't like seeing repeat type things. I like spreading it around. It was fine, but I really
you
see,
like spreading it around. So
well,
you don't mind New England winning?
No. Well, see, I was caught in a situation of I was in a no-win situation on this game because
yeah,
I'm not a big dynasty. I just don't. I'm not the Yankees. I don't like dynasties.
Well, a New England win way furthered a theory of dynasty than a Seattle win.
It really, you're right. You're exactly right. I just didn't want to see an up and coming. So Brady has 4 now, 7 if you count the losses. He is something else and is thrown about as Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback ever to play the game.
If you go off Super Bowls,
well,
he's
I guess
right it, up there with.
If that's,
you know,
if
that's people's gauge, it has never been my, I don't buy into that.
I don't either.
If
it's not
you
my
never
contention.
Won a Super Bowl, you can't be in the top echelon. You can be on incredibly crummy teams and be a great quarterback
and
have done a great job, but the teamwork that you happen to join into, especially the old-time players where there wasn't free trade stuff, you tell me that Trent Dilfert, who won a Super Bowl with
is better
Tampa
than Dan
Bay,
Marino.
Is better than Dan Marino.
Yeah. Fran,
is better,
Tarkenton.
Fran Tarkenton
yeah.
is a perfect example
yeah.
of an amazing quarterback.
Exactly.
Am I right, Jim? Was
yeah.
Fran Tarkenton
yeah.
not amazing?
Big thumbs up
and
to
I
Jimbo.
Didn't even, you know, I rooted against him when he moved it from the G-Men to the Vikings. But,
right.
But, so I don't go into that. You happen to be, some of it's what you did to get there. But a lot of it, you know, football's a team game. Tom Brady isn't winning any Super Bowls with the Cleveland Browns. I guarantee,
guarantee
it. He never would.
That's right.
So
that's exactly right. You're right. And so we'll see. Hey, we got a few minutes before we go to break. Real quick, I do want to talk about this 50 Shades of Grey. The movie's coming out here in March, I believe. And so now all the hoopla has started. Did you read it?
No.
Doesn't seem like a book that you'd read. I did not read it as well, although...
I don't have anything against... I just, from what I had heard of it...
Mm-hmm. Very interesting story. Started off as a self-published book, got picked up. I can tell you that I have a number of people, both in my family and outside my family, who are just who can't wait because they have fallen in love with this character. It is a racy, racy book. Just, I mean, pretty racy. Yeah. Just got a bunch
of my wife read it.
Really?
And so I was kind of thinking maybe it would...
Nothing.
Right. I got nothing out of it.
Take her to the movie.
From the book. So.
Here's a couple things that's come out. A 100-minute movie. 20 minutes of it has the sex scenes in it. So 20%.
20 minutes of it is worth watching.
Is 20 minutes of it is worth watching. Okay. There's a story that came out. 50 Shades of Grey's author clashes with director over the sex scenes. A couple strange... And when you hear these things about movies, it always makes me scratch my head. Obviously, the author E.L. James and Sam Taylor Johnson, who is a lady who is directing it, got into a little bit of a tussle there on the set about how they would do these sex scenes, which, from what I understand, makes the book. I didn't read it. I don't know. I'm sure people will come on and say, no, it's about plot and it's about... Yeah, it reminds me a lot of the Twilight thing. But what was very interesting is that Sam Taylor Johnson says Jamie, who is, let's see, Jamie Dornan, it plays the male lead in that, had two dominatrices on the scene or on the set there to help out that. Anytime you put those things together, that's part of a movie, you got to scratch your head for a moment and say, what the heck is this movie about? Will you go see 50 Shades of Grey?
I would. Well, since if my wife wants to, I may go along.
Because she saw
it. I don't really have feelings one way or other. I'm more of a wait till it. Comes
yeah.
on my.
I can't imagine that I'm
home.
Going to.
But
can't
with this said,
50
with,
Shades of Grey.
Because sexual matters can be debated within, our country, the
sure.
world. And,
sure.
And from a religious
right.
Philosophy of mm-hmm. you know, oh, that's a nasty show,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. I guess what I would say is in general people tend to think of S&M
mm-hmm.
sadomasochism
mm-hmm.
as demeaning.
Mm-hmm.
It can be, certainly can be. I don't like anything that demeans a woman.
Right.
But with that said, within a marriage, a couple. If I would look at something and say, whoa, that's
mm-hmm.
that's bizarre, that's
uh-huh.
rocking. As long as what's done is done in love and doesn't hurt each or willing participants,
right.
however bizarre that may be.
Right. And I don't know.
I don't know
if that's the case in
this
book or not.
I don't know anything about this show, really, other than I've heard there's some.
Me neither. But I know.
S&M,
so. Yeah, I know the buzz is coming out because the show is coming out. A lot of people do it, throwing it on Facebook and everything. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about why Brian Williams from the NBC Nightly News is a liar. this came out yesterday. And we're going to talk about that. I want to get your opinion on that, what happened there with Brian Williams on the NBC Nightly News. So we want you to stay with us right here on YouTube, right here on Blog Talk Radio, as we continue. You're listening to the Derek and George Live Show on Blog Talk Radio.
If you watch a game, it's fun. If you play it, it's recreation. But if you work at it, it's golf. A golf course should aspire to generate as much energy as it consumes. And 4 miles north of Marion, Indiana is a golf course that does just that. 6,690 yards of pure energy. Arbor Trace Golf Club is a course that's beauty is matched only by its bite. a course that can test not only the steel of one's nerves, but the metal of their irons. It's a course for the beginner who desires to learn the game as well as the player who is ready to challenge it. So whether you're looking to play just for the fun of the game or the opportunity to work hard on it, Arbitrace Golf Club is the course for you. Give Arbitrace Golf Club a shot, because in golf, the most important shot you ever make is the next one. Derek and George live on the road less traveled, Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Derek and George live show right here on Blog Talk Radio on the road less traveled. You're also watching it on YouTube. Let me turn myself up a little bit. Hey, Brian Williams is a liar. Here is the first thing I don't like NBC. I don't like that. I've always thought that Brian Williams was I like the way he reports. I may not like his politics, but I like just watching him and his voice and everything.
Really?
And
I've never watched more than 5 minutes.
You don't like Brian Williams?
I can't stand any of the major three.
Right.
In evening news.
And I don't watch them either.
The minute or two I've watched, and you listen. And I go back to the old days when there was only that's all you had. It just
their
reporting
Jennings.
Of what you saw happen mm-hmm. or you heard the speech, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a second, would it?
Right.
That's your take on it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's vastly different. So if it's something I saw and they report, and that's why when cable news came around, it was so refreshing for many people.
Yep.
I have nothing against him, don't know much about him. I can't. NBC is just one of the meccas of liberal spewing, so I don't listen to it.
Back in the Iraq War. And just not too long ago, Brian Williams and an individual who he had reported a story that his Chinook had got shot down, and a group of soldiers protected them, and he took this individual to a Rangers game, and there was a big deal about it. And this soldier is a hero for sure. But when that happened, there was a lot of then calls from other soldiers that said, that's not exactly what happened. Brian Williams had reported that he was shot down. He went on the nightly news on Wednesday and reported, quote, after a ground fire incident in the desert during the Iraq war invasion, I made a mistake in recalling the events of 12 years ago.
Yeah.
It did not take long to hear from some brave men and women in the air crews who were also in that desert. I want to apologize. I said I was traveling in an aircraft that was hit by rocket-propelled grenade fire. I was instead in a following aircraft. This was a bungled attempt by me to thank one special veteran, and by extension, our brave military and men and women, veterans everywhere, those who have served while I did not. He apologized for that. And later on, he told the newspaper this. He told them this. I would not have chosen to make that mistake. I don't know what screwed up in my mind that caused me to conflate one aircraft with another.
He's full of prunes.
I'm
going to
tell you
Good
what.
Grief.
I'm going to tell you what.
Who does?
You
how
can,
long ago was this?
12 years ago.
Whoa, 12 years.
You
don't remember whether a vehicle you were traveling
not
in
a vehicle,
got hit or the,
a
the
helicopter
aircraft you were traveling
right.
in got hit or it was the one in front of you? And then...
Because the report was that 30 to 60 minutes later, his aircraft landed.
And he bungled the reporting. It's not overly hard to report.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple vehicles flying. The one in front of me got hit.
Let's see.
You obviously know what that is. It's
when I was reporting,
to elevate
yeah.
the stature of yourself by greatering the event you were involved in.
Right.
That's
here. Let's see. I was in Iraq war, and let's see. I was in an aircraft. Did it get shot down or didn't it? Boy, I can't remember. tell me something else in Brian Williams' life that would have happened that would have trumped getting shot down by an RPG in the Iraqi desert that he would be able to say, you know, so many things have happened. I just get them all, you know.
That's a good case. Or you're traveling in that aircraft and you're like, huh, hey, did we just get
did
hit
we just
by an
get,
RPG?
Did our
did,
helicopter
did
just roll as
something?
We, yeah. Did we just roll as I just can't.
Yeah.
I
no,
would,
no. Brian, I think it was the aircraft in front. Do you think? No,
yeah.
The
one that was
confusing.
60 minutes ahead of you. That was that's right. Well, it felt like it was. Here's the thing. I would have been able to say, you know what, Brian, okay, you did it. If he would have come on and said, I wasn't in the aircraft. I said it because I was trying to make myself look a little bit better. I shouldn't have done that. It was a horrible thing. I apologize. And I would have said, yeah, because a lot of people do that. You know, doesn't surprise me. You're an anchor. Got to make big news for NBC. It would have been understandable. But for him to come on and sound like a lunatic, or some sort of undiagnosed bipolar issue, that when you say, you know, I thought I got shot down, but I didn't. And thank goodness that I had the men and women of the United States Armed Forces to remind me that it wasn't my aircraft that got shot down. It was theirs.
Yeah, well, it's
and
it's,
here's the thing. If he would have never taken that guy to the hockey game, if it wouldn't have gone viral on YouTube, if it wouldn't have been this huge thing about Brian Williams honors the man who protected his life, he would have never admitted that he wasn't in that aircraft. Never. Come on, Brian. Don't be that guy. Although it doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't he? Like I said, I haven't watched more than 10 minutes of his reporting in my life.
Yeah.
But I make these judgments because I don't like the network, and I listen and I go, oh, this is crap.
Mm-hmm.
Then I make judgments on the guy, and he to me looks like a guy, you know, you take that picture and youthen him down to high school. He's like the guy that all the girls are going, oh, isn't he sweet and cute and nice? Brian, just, and you're the guy.
Brian,
going like,
you're a good-looking guy.
Schmo, man.
People are going to like you even though you weren't shot down in a helicopter. It's okay. You didn't need to do that. Here's what I think about, though. You hearken back to the day.
I will say in general.
Uh-huh.
And of course, in his line of work, it's lethal, because a reporter should be an excellent witness. If you were to ask what happened here,
mm-hmm.
here the guy can't even or did not explain how he truthfully or otherwise how something actually happened. Understand or believe in the future if he's there? Okay, well, in Riyadh, the bombs were landing here, and you're like,
it goes directly to credibility now.
Yeah, credibility is
we can't. And I wanted to talk a second about that, because you hearken back to the days of Cronkite and Rather and Jennings when it was the big three, and that's all you got, you know, because. When television came out, and I don't know if you know this, a little bit of history, okay? When television came out and the broadcast airwaves went public and people had access to it, the big three, NBC, ABC, CBS, went to the people who provide the airwaves and said, you know, can we have some free time? And they said, you know what, we're going to give you free time. You don't have to pay for it. But for 1 hour or one half hour every night during the week, you're going to report the news. And that's what it was originally for. The big three were given free airwaves so that they could report the news. And it used to be a thing of honor. I'm sure over time now you could say, I don't like him. It got progressively worse from Cronkite to Rather, who did, to Jennings, to Brokaw, to whatever.
Tom Brokaw.
Yeah. Their politics began to seep into it. But it used to be that that's where you got your news. It was the only place you got your news, on TV. And there was a trust issue there. You trusted Walter
Cronkite.
Yeah, we trusted Walter Cronkite. We trusted that the news we were getting was the news that was really happening. That's all out the window now. It's all down the toilet.
Which in a way is good, because some of that is perception. And
I understand.
I've asked my children a long time ago, if, you know, try and that's why listening sometimes, and you're good about that, you try and listen to all sources and see.
It's hard.
But find the
Right.
Because some places have an angle. The guys you like have an angle.
Right. The people
I
from Fox.
I enjoy watching Fox News more.
But they have an angle.
But I appreciate that they have an angle. So I may want to listen to something else to see, well, what's this other side, just to keep my guys honest and straight, too, as
right.
well. And because sometimes the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, and I think what happened was I don't think anybody's surprising. I think the right will jump on it and say, oh, there's a – I think it's not surprising. I just wish he would have said – it gets to the point where you insult me by telling me that you got those stories confused. Don't, you know what, buddy, come out and just tell me it didn't happen. It just didn't happen. I made that up. I saw it happen. I thought it'd be cool to be able to say that happened to me. So I said that we were on it. When you do that, you just add insult to injury, because not only did you just admit you lied to me, but now you're insulting my intelligence. Brian, don't be that guy, man. And that's the bad thing when it happens to one of those anchors. We've seen it happen. We saw it happen with Dan Rather and CBS and making up the story and running with it. It just goes to just killing news and making people just not believe anything. So anyway, headline right there on the Drudge Report, then NBC Nightly Lose is what it was, the heading. The NBC Nightly Lose. Does he lose his job?
Wow.
Does he lose his job because NBC will say, our anchor has lost credibility.
Well, logic would tell you yes, but the people that are going to watch him, they'll probably be great support, and Brian's the greatest in the world.
I'm telling you.
He made a mistake. We love Brian. Oh, let's listen.
Because of the position that he's in, Brian Williams needs to resign.
He'll probably get a promotion.
Absolutely. But I'm saying the only thing that can pull him out of the muck and gain any sort of credibility back is if he resigns. I don't care either way. Doesn't matter to me. I'm not gonna miss him if he goes. I'm not gonna dislike him if he stays. I'm gonna watch the same amount. Doesn't matter
whether he's there or not.
I'm just saying, some PR guy, some agent around him is saying, you got to pull this one out. So you got to resign. You got to fall on your sword on this one. Doesn't matter to me either way if he does or if he doesn't. But it's news, and we wanted to report it. It's on the top of the Drudge, and I was everything I was reading coming out of the Washington Post. Hey, real quick, I want to get to this FCC thing. Why is it important? Because it's huge about the internet. Congress gave the FCC chair Tom Wheeler this broad stroke kind of power over making policy at the FCC, which in turn the internet falls under. I have an article here, and for the life of me, I still can't understand what the FCC chairman Tom Wheeler is saying. It is about net neutrality. And I'm wondering what your thoughts of, and that's kind of where I want to go.
Well, I am
of net
for
neutrality.
Those listening that
yeah.
are somewhat like me in being halfway internet challenged,
uh-huh.
what I understand of net neutrality is making it so that all providers need to charge their customers and provide equal streaming access cost.
That's exactly right.
With that, I do not agree.
Mm-hmm.
Many of those companies were forerunners in getting
technology.
The internet up and running,
That's
the
right.
technology, and they should be recouped for
mm-hmm.
their investment thereof. And if we want the internet more screwed up, let's get the government involved.
Yeah,
my thought.
And that's what it said. I'm reading from the article. Broadband network operators have an understandable motivation to manage their network to maximize their business interests, but their actions may not always be optimal for network users. That's true. But again, just like you said, we've got a business, we've got competition, we've got some networks that charge more, some networks that charge less. But to throw the government in and try and level this thing that says everybody's you're going to make it so that everybody pays the same and it's going to be just the way that we say it is just an optimal way of screwing things up.
I don't see incredible tons of disservice to anyone right now that says the government should step in and try and fix it. And usually when the government does step in, it screws everything up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Finally, real quick, we've got about 10 minutes here before we get to our Wheel of Truth. I want to talk about, because it's getting hot and heavy, we're getting into almost the spring of 2015, and the race is on. The race has begun, and front runners are being named, and people are throwing their hats in the ring and pulling their hats out of the ring. First of all, I want to ask you, were you surprised by Mitt Romney's decision not to run for president of the United States in 2016. Did it catch you off guard?
No.
Really? You didn't think he was going to run? You thought...
Well, he said before he would not run again.
Right.
Ever. And I...
But it wasn't being built up as that, and he wasn't behaving that way.
To take Mitt at his word. Well, once again, people get in and get, and I need to look, oh, yeah, and then I think it came... You know, what he said, I think, was very good words. I don't want to get in the way of that person that can be the next good conservative president.
Which means to him, I couldn't win. Because if he felt he could win, you wouldn't be getting into the way that he...
Well, I think he's as much as admitted that. I mean, if you don't win... against Barack Obama after that first 4 years?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
I'm
glad that he did that because I agree. I don't think you could win, Mitt. Here's my problem, though. I'm not sure who can. During the break, we were talking about Scott Walker. It was one of the words that I gave to you in your gut check. And the reason I gave it to you is because lately he has been thrown out by polls, which I know that you hate, and I know that you can only look at them as a snapshot in time. It all depends on who does them and how they're statistically prepared. They could be very accurate, or as we saw in the 2012 election between Romney and Obama, which showed some polls showed very close, ended up being just garbage. But these polls are showing, and people are talking, that now Scott Walker is the front runner. Early in the race, granted, it doesn't matter who's leading the race at the first turn. It matters who hits the tape first. Worthy of that, do you think, right now, Scott Walker? In the field that we have right now?
Well, if the theory is, and I am one of this that believes this, the only chance we have is to have our nominee be a true conservative. And
true
by
conservative.
A true conservative, George Bush was never a true conservative. Jeb Bush is not a true conservative.
Right.
Scott Walker, I'm not boned up tons on all his, but I'm not a person that believes...
But
that
he fought the teachers union, and that goes a long way.
Well, he has... gone through amazing things in a predominantly what we call blue state.
Blue state
and
of Wisconsin,
If you can say someone is geared a little bit in the Reagan mode of ability to stand up, as Reagan did when he said something, it was that we will not negotiate with the air traffic controllers,
right,
get back to work. Scott Walker with his unions in his state. And yet... he's there and he's seems to be having accomplished something in a democratic state. How does that happen? Well, it's statesmanship. And I would say, and yet he is not, from what I've seen, compromised his conservative principles. So I would say what we are lacking a bit is maybe which unfortunately we need to have. You know, America needs a rock star like Obama. I'm cool. I'm a cool cat. And they care. We don't have any super charismatic kind of guy.
No.
And I would probably, so I would consider Scott Walker. I would consider him a strong candidate. You and I probably differ on what, and I don't know really how you believe in politics. Do you think we need a politician? Do you think somebody that has to be like now, because I've come out in support of Ben Carson.
Right.
Ben, one thing that Ben Carson has written in his books, and I fundamentally agree with, one of the biggest problems in America today is we are not represented by Americans. In working Americans, we're represented by lifetime politicians. The
right.
John Boehners, the Mitch McConnells, the crazy lady from California,
Nancy
Pelosi. these people need to be gone.
Which one? Barbara Boxer? One from California?
But we need to be represented by Americans. And I don't think, you know, we can say, well, Barack Obama, look what lack of experience. No, it's not lack of experience. It has, it's Obama being who Obama is that has screwed up our country today.
Right.
So I don't, in reality, can somebody that isn't a politician get in? I don't know, but
I don't want my president to be somebody who's not a politician. I don't care about my representative, but not my president. My president has to have shown me that they can run a state, that they have incredible organizational skills. Ben Carson is great in policy, but I don't want a neurosurgeon being the president of the United States. Not if they weren't. I've got to have a politician who can get things done.
My argument against that would be what over the past 50 years has shown that's a great achievement.
That's the case. My answer would be probably that I can't prove that. It's an intrinsic thing. It's not having somebody in there who knows how it works, because George W. came in from a big state, and, you know, we get a lot of people come in outside of Washington to be president, either senator or governors or whatever. I don't know. I just want somebody in there that I think I can say they know how the game is played and can fight back on that. I think Scott Walker is fine. I don't have a problem with that.
I think a better fighter of how the game is played is someone that goes in fresh.
Yeah. And I would disagree with that. I mean, you and I would just disagree with that. I don't think Ben Carson is a good fit for the president of the United States. I would love to see him in a cabinet position. I would love to see him. I could see him as Surgeon General. I could see him, you know, those types of things. I don't think just somebody having, because I agree.
I want a good intellect with a good character.
Okay.
And I agree. Yeah, we've talked about this.
Right.
Can you get elected without lying?
No.
So
no.
It's
one of those things. Like I said, I think it needs better than, we can't look at people and say they have great policy or their ideas. I have the same policy ideas that Ben Carson has. I just think, so we'll see where Scott Walker goes. We'll see if he maintains the front.
Somehow he's gotten a lot of stuff done there.
Yes.
And that's what Republicans need to look at. But
I don't
see that this party, Republicans, will be what they will. And whoever gets nominated, part of our group will pick him apart
We're going to see how that runs. It's very early in the race. But right now, Scott Walker seems to be. Hey, you know what we've done before? And I've talked about this. It's called our Wheel of Truth. And I love our Wheel of Truth. We've done it a couple times. There it is right there. It's a Wheel of Truth. What we do is we spin a wheel, and it's got a number of things. And then George and I talk about this last week, something that has happened. And so far we've had That's Tasty, I think. And I Feel Like a Woman.
We're gonna spin
the wheel, and if that comes up, we're gonna spin it again. So we're gonna try and get something different here. Let's spin the wheel here and see what happens. The Wheel of Truth. Oh, there we go. That's manly. That's manly. So what we need to do is you need to think back towards the week and say, what was the manliest thing that you did this week? That's manly. I'm trying to think. I don't do a whole lot of manly things. You got anything that just comes to mind that you did?
Just everything, baby. Yeah.
Everything yeah. I do. Something manly.
Little exercise and weight training, although women do that as well. Shaving.
Okay.
Yeah, you shave.
Sure,
right?
I shave.
Manly. Oh, yes.
That is manly.
A couple days ago, got my air gun out, did a little.
Did you really?
Put up some baseboard, did a little shooting.
Nice for
power
you.
Power gun. Yeah,
see,
a little.
The problem is, I don't know how to do a lot of manly things. And probably anything that we say now that's manly. Is done by women.
Manly, yes, but I
well.
Like it too. Kind
you know
of like
what I
Iron
did?
Spring.
I'm really not supposed to drive a lot, but every once in a while, mm-hmm. if it's cold, I'll go over and get Christine's van, and I'll drive around a little bit. And you know what I did? I helped a lady jump her car at Walmart the other day. That's kind of a manly. It's a gentlemanly thing. I don't know if it's manly. Yeah.
Gentlemanly.
I thought she had
it's
a
good neighborly mate.
She had a dead battery, and
yeah.
so
I generally have one of those.
Really?
Yeah.
That
or it, we're talking about the car still.
The car still, and so that may be a sad thing that's the only the manliest thing.
Okay.
You know what I did?
Okay, no,
I've got another one.
Do you do the four posts to the four posts? Or do you do the proper grant? You know, you're supposed to, you know, the negative to like the part of the steel work because you can supposedly cause a fire if you butt.
That's the way that I do it. I don't do four posts to four posts.
Oh, you do it the correct
way? I ground the ground, yeah.
And that's to the car you're jumping.
Right.
Correct? Yes.
Right. To the car you're jumping.
Interesting. I always just go the four post.
Really?
Yeah.
I've read that's. That works, but I've read that there can be some like explosions and fires and things like that. Anyway, here's another thing, and probably people will not say that's manly, but I think you will absolutely dig it because I know you, and you're going to say, "Good job, baby." I mean, 2 days ago.
Yeah,
the sun goes down at 5 something now.
Yeah.
And it was a little chilly, but not a bad night. It was a little chilly. I cooked some steaks on the grill. The grill that you gave me, your old grill. Is still going. You got a new one, and I said to you, hey, mine's messed up. Is there any way I can have that? There's so much history in George's grill.
That grill is like 28 years old or some crazy thing. I put like more burners and heat plates in that thing.
So on February 3rd in La Junta, Colorado, at 6 o'clock at night, I'm out in the dark with my headlamp on.
Okay, you have your head.
I had
it's tough grilling
it
at
is.
Night.
It is.
You know,
I had my headlamp on.
Yeah.
I'm grilling outside. That's manly.
Cooking outside is always manly.
That's manly.
I cook inside as well, but that's the guy's domain.
On a grill
grilling.
Of
yeah.
historical proportion.
That's good. Okay, another kind of manly
thing, right.
Although this could be. When I was cutting my baseboard with my miter saw outside, I was also smoking a stogie.
There you go.
Gosh,
there you go.
a filler.
Now, do you have the 10-inch, 12-inch compound miter saw, or are you
yes.
the old? Yeah, okay, just cutting away. You don't use the, is it, you know, the old box with the little.
No,
yeah.
although I have from my grandfather the old wood.
Yes.
That
has the different angles.
And the square.
The square saw, absolutely.
So I have some schools.
That's manly.
That, or some tools that predate.
Yeah.
I mean, they are.
Well.
They make the Amish look high tech.
I said, I showed you the other day. Jimbo had sent me a set of the old hand crank hole diggers, whatever you call them. That was old. And I want to let you know. I used one the other day.
Did you?
I did.
You augered a hole?
And the reason we did that is because we were doing something, and I think George or Zach and I were doing something, and we needed, and both the drills were dead, and we needed a hole.
How are both your drills dead?
Zach didn't put the batteries on them. He wasn't charging them. I didn't have mine. I just went over to Zach's house, and his was dead.
More dead batteries.
And all we yeah. needed was a little tiny pilot hole, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And by golly, I went over and got the little tiny one.
The little Yankee.
Zip, 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 kablammy. Back to my grandfather, my father's day. I did it. And I thought, oh my gosh, there you have it. In that same day, using the sander that my father sent me and then the router that my father sent me as we put up doors.
You routered your little jig, your
hinge plate, yeah.
Oh, good
routered deal. It out, absolutely, routered it out.
I tend to do things the old-fashioned way with that.
With the chisel.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not, one, don't have chisels. Two, not
you
good at chisels.
You don't have chisels?
No, I've never learned how to do that. I'm not good at that.
Oh!
I know how to do it because I studied that, I looked, and I understand that's, yeah, there you go. I don't know how to, I'm not that good. It would take a lot of practice. And I didn't want to do that because they're Zach's doors, and so much easier to router them out. So,
do you have any files?
Yes, I have files.
What's another name for a file?
Rasp.
No.
Oh, okay.
A rasp is a very, very coarse kind of file.
Okay, then I don't know.
A bastard.
Did you know that? I might have known that.
I always enjoyed that because when I was a kid, I could get away with saying what's.
Yeah,
you're a naughty bastard. Hey, you could go
hand
in,
me that.
Like I'd take that in and say something my mom, you know, something about this bastard, and you just feel fun because you're a kid and you get away with saying a naughty.
What have you been doing? I've been out in the barn with that old bastard.
I'm playing with this old bastard here.
Come here,
my grandfather had a side
bastard.
After he retired.
Yep.
He had a sharpening business that he ran out of his garage, and so he had a lot of bastards.
Yeah. Incredible. You know, you talk about that, and then we're going to get into the Ask George question. You talk about that word game yesterday. My family gets angry at me at multiple junctions of our day.
Really?
Sure. And a lot of it has to do with my attitude, probably, and or my ability to inadvertently make people feel dumb.
I think you and I have a couple similarities there.
And it happens a lot with vocabulary, and people get very angry when I'm right.
Do you have that old saying about not? There's an old saying about being right. Somebody wants to, they always. Say, you always think you're right. And then my response is, generally, but there was that one time where I questioned myself and thought I was wrong.
But I was mistaken.
But I was mistaken, so I was actually right.
Exactly.
So I was.
My wife used a term yesterday, and I corrected her, and she said, you're absolutely wrong, and we've looked it up. And I didn't push it or anything. I just said, I think if you look it up, I think I'm right.
Oh, yeah. And
it was like.
And you were right?
I was right.
Oh, and when you go
it was the term
school teacher.
Rabble rouser. It's not, she said a rebel rouser.
It's
a rabble.
Rabble.
rouser.
Rebel rouser.
And I said, you mean rabble rouser. And I should have just kept my mouth shut.
Sure.
What difference does it make? And she said, I think you're wrong on that one. I'm going to look it up and prove it. I said, I wouldn't.
Oh, and that made her, she didn't like that.
And she looked it up, and there were some choice words, and I think I was called a name of some sort. When the fact came out that indeed it is a rabble rouser. And so I've got to watch myself on that. Anyway, that right there is the wheel of truth, trying to do things manly. And over the course of the show, hopefully you've gotten a little bit, you get a glimpse of our life during the week, our gut check and everything. We got to get into the Ask George question. During the whole gut check.
Yes.
Okay. I asked you something to talk about or to give me real quick, and you probably are thinking, where did that fit in? And it was the state of Texas. And so we've got an Ask George question, and I really like this. This slide that's going to come up, this Ask George slide, is Jimbo's slide. So do we have that one, Jimbo? Is that one coming up? The Ask George one?
There it is, right there.
Got a little sheep, right there. We got an Ask George question. But Tina from Texas has a question for George.
I got a question for you. I got a question for you.
Jimbo's going to bring it up here on the screen. It is from an individual named Tina L. From Wellington, Texas. It says, Dear George, love your show. You guys are conservative studs.
Woo!
I wanted to know why you don't take your show to other states so your fans can get up close and personal with you and Derek, if you know what I mean. It's a little creepy. But say, like Wellington, Texas. My question is, if you had the opportunity to meet one person in history, who would it be? Love you both. Tina L., Wellington, Texas. I thought that was a great question. One, because of my love of history, and I don't think it's anything that we've ever talked about with you, and it'd be interesting for me, as well as Tina L., here's the funny thing. I thought about it, and I looked up Wellington, Texas. There's like 2,200 people in the town.
Really?
Yeah. And so, you know what, Tina?
By the way, hats off to Texas being the state that carries the whole union for employment.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Texas. If you want a job, go to Texas. So maybe sometime, Tina, we will make our way down and do a live show from Wellington, Texas.
I wouldn't count on it.
We wouldn't count on it, you know, you can always hope.
You guys are conservative studs.
Conservative studs.
I like the stud.
I like
part.
The stud part. So she has that question. If you had the opportunity to meet one person in history, please don't say Jesus.
No, it's
because that's an obvious one. Okay, as Christians, we always.
Why did you not want me to say that? I wasn't.
I'm getting ready to tell you why. The reason that I don't like that is because that's an obvious one. I think for Christians, we would all want to go back and do that. It's part of a pilgrimage. It's part of a thought that we're always wanting to get closer and to look at that. And so that I think that's an obvious one for us. I would say then, besides Jesus, who would it be?
Wow. There are so many.
And I would also add in, and why? Why would you want to meet that person?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what do you think?
Well, you know, the obvious things of presidents, like your first, you know, like Washington.
Okay.
Course, Lincoln, sports figures, that would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do a little combo because I just think he is probably
a montage.
Well, a balance. Yeah.
Okay.
You talk about a balanced individual of wisdom,
mm-hmm.
capitalism, and politician all rolled into one. Who do you think that would be?
Ross Perot.
And you're going to hear a giant sucking sound. And
you're
going to
hear a giant sucking
sound of the American people.
Can we talk about the economy?
Talk about the economy.
Okay. I don't know. Ross Perot's stuck in my head. I don't know. Ross Perot. Minus the wisdom. I mean, I don't know. Who do you got?
I would think it would have to be Ben Franklin.
Ah. Oh, there you go. Go back and see Ben.
You know,
why?
First of all, he was instrumental in the.
I hope you get your history right, because if you don't, I'm going to have to crush your soul.
In the early forming of our years,
yes.
He was a man of faith.
Yes.
And he was a capitalist.
Yes. I did a little thing of the man of faith thing.
What's this? Why? Why?
I would agree.
No, you're gonna go like this.
Benjamin Franklin was a church going man. That's as far as I will go with that. He was a drinker.
I don't hold drinking.
No,
That's
just the beginning. What I'm saying is he was.
If we're gonna hold drinking,
I'm just saying there's a lot of info out there that obviously was a man of faith, but I think too much is accredited to Ben Franklin. In the reliance upon a supreme being, and his policies of a new nation. That's all I'm saying. It's fine. It's good. He was
okay. And all I'm saying is, I like any in achieving people acknowledgement that they're not it.
Then
and that's
I'm
Ben
fine
Franklin.
With that. That's Ben Franklin. That's fine. That's good. That, yes.
Did he not the Continental
Absolutely.
Congress say, "Hey guys, maybe when Washington was maybe
you
we
bet.
Need to ask for guidance from the
yes.
supreme being."
That's right.
Allah,
right?
The infidel. No,
yes.
I'm all with you on that. I mean, how many inventions did this guy?
A lot.
He was just a very innovative man. I mean, he innovated all the. Printing stuff,
yes.
Eyeglasses, electric.
Yes,
he was
an instrumental founding father.
Yeah, yeah, and it strikes me
as a fun guy to be around.
I don't know. Yeah, well,
just a good old guy.
The one thing that we miss in history, and that hopefully we get a read and we can become, is finding out people's flaws as
yep.
well. That's
yes.
that's what makes them human and
Absolutely.
Not superheroes. We all, what was somebody's Achilles? What was their flaw? Well,
mm-hmm.
you know, I do not know this for sure, but I heard, did Benjamin Franklin die of venereal disease? Or
he liked women.
Well, see, that's another thing
yes.
I love about him. I like women too. Me and Ben could have a great
especially
conversation about
Especially on his
that.
His trips over to France.
Yes, well, and what's,
he
you know?
He loved women. Yeah. Yes, I'm not holding it against him. That's great. I think Benjamin Franklin is awesome.
I just think he'd be an interesting bloke to sit down
I
and,
think so, too.
I
would ask him why the turkey. I know he's given the reason, but why the turkey, man? Why do you? He thought it was a majestic bird and very representative of the United States. So, you know, because he chose the turkey as the state or the national bird. He wanted the turkey.
Yeah, and that's...
He didn't get it, but that's fine. I think Benjamin Franklin... Who else then? You said that you said you were going to do a combination.
Oh, no, I thought he was... I'll throw...
Yeah, don't know, because I know there's a number. We got some time. I know there's a... That's hard to say just one person. Let me change the question just a little bit.
Let me go a modern and go with somebody that's gone, but was
okay.
recent.
Okay. Maybe that would give Tina a little bit of insight into the mind of George, her conservative stud, if you know what
I
mean.
I'm going to go with Maggie.
Who? Really?
Mm-hmm.
The Iron Lady.
The Iron Lady.
I think that's a great choice. Golly, she was something, wasn't she? They hated her.
She
was Ronald Reagan on steroids. She really was.
Oh, yeah. Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher.
Amazingly.
was just something. Well, did you see The Iron Lady?
Yeah, I did. I was very disappointed. I think you and I mentioned that. I thought, what's her name, Meryl Streep, always does a great job. Her portrayal, her ability there was very well done. I thought the writing,
the direction that they took her
of it was poor.
And slanted, and obviously they were trying to put a fine point on it, and you knew what that was, and you kind of expected it. Anyway, that's a great – let me change the question just a little bit, okay? Mm-hmm. If you could go back in time and change – and meet one historical person in order to change a direction or a path that they took, what would it be? And I'm gonna throw one out because it's an obvious. You can't go back and kill Hitler.
Yeah, well, everybody says Hitler are having a sit
that's
down,
an
baby.
Obvious. That's an
and
obvious.
One of us is gonna come out alive.
It's like the Jesus thing. It's an obvious one. Okay. There's a couple more obvious, but what would you do? Would you go back and say? I mean, people want to go back and tell Kennedy put the top up. You know, those types of things.
Well, interesting enough, if you have not read Stephen King's novel, 11/22/63,
uh-huh.
about exactly that.
I know.
Have you read it?
No, but I know, because I was doing some research on Stephen King. I haven't read it. Never read a Stephen King book in my life.
Like many things in Stephen King, fantasy, and of course the guy has a portal, he can travel back. And he decides to try to change the period and stop Oswald from killing Kennedy. Fantasy, but
interesting movie that's out is that kind of a documentary that they do of what would have happened if Kennedy wouldn't have been assassinated, and they take all of his policies and move him forward through Vietnam, through everything, of where the country might have been. If he wouldn't have been assassinated, it's very interesting.
I don't know if it would change tons. Sometimes you change leadership, but I would say Hitler is the famous. But if I want to try to affect mankind in a positive way, or say if my goal is saving lives, then I go back and me and Stalin. I meet that dude.
Really?
Stalin. Stalin has been credited with more.
That's
even
interesting.
Possibly more worldwide death attributed to Stalin than even Hitler.
Right.
But who knows? You know, you take Joe Stalin out, and then
who replaces
that guy? Replaced him just that kind of thing that happens in history
that you don't know. I look at.
Go ahead.
I was just thinking. I look at American history, and obviously one of the things that has so much impact that you look at is obviously the Vietnam War. And I would just love to go back into the cabinet room when Johnson was there, and they were getting ready to. During the Gulf of Tonkin, and I just say this isn't worth it. You're getting ready to put yourself into a war that you're not going to win, and you're just going to. I always wonder what direction the United States would have taken, spiritually, socially, societal, whatever, without the mar of the Vietnam War. That's always just something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You just wonder if. In the lives.
I want
of
a woman.
You want? Excuse me.
I want a woman, baby. No.
Talk to Benjamin Franklin. I'm not sure. I'm sure he can find you.
What lady are you visiting?
Oh, you want to? Oh, what lady am I going back to?
Yeah.
Oh.
I would throw in the humanitarian front.
That's a good one.
The classic Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa.
Some of her work up close.
You know who I would have loved to go back and just been a fly on the wall and watched. Joan of Arc. That was a good one. Joan of Arc. Interesting. Anyway, Tina. Hey, thanks for the letter. Tina L. from Wellington, Texas, right there.
Don't mess with Texas.
Thank you so much for your question. You can ask George by going to www.derrickandgeorge.com. Hit the Ask George question. But Tina, that is George's story, and I don't know if you agree with it, but he's sticking
to
it.
Thank you, Texas.
That's my story. My story. Well, I ain't got a witness,
and I'm sticking to it.
We got a few minutes left. What do we got here? 5 minutes left. Here's a couple things that are on the table. Our little knickknacks that are on the table.
Yeah, this guy's on the table. Here's your field goal.
Yes, I got Jacob this field goal. I'm going to take it. Let me take it because I want to give you a shot here. It's a sticky thing, so you got to peel it off. It does stick really good. I got Jacob these for Christmas.
There you go. Okay.
Okay, so take your little football.
Where's my football?
Now, you've played this before,
oh, sure,
right?
Yeah,
you're a kicker.
Finger stuff. You got it.
Now, I'm going to tell you, okay. this thing is going to fly like mad. Wait a second here. Let me
make
get this.
Our own out of paper.
So did we.
This is high tech.
So did we. So,
okay.
All right. Here's the. Wait a second. Let me. All right. Go ahead. I'm going to call that good.
Yeah, that was close.
I'm going to call that good. Now, here's the other one is the little basketball one. And so take that.
Oh.
Take that.
Oh, I haven't had any giving yet to even have an idea how far this shoots.
That's right.
So
let's see how far.
Now take your little thing there,
and let's see if we can get it on.
Right.
Let's see. Here we go. You got it?
Oh,
okay, so here's the deal.
You've got
4 minutes left in the show. Let's see if George can. George is just not. It's not looking good there. I'm going to give you an extra ball there that you could practice with. This is what we do here on the show.
I hit your Duck Dynasty guy.
It's not looking good.
Too much power, Captain.
Too much power, Captain.
Throttler in study. Oh! Wow.
It was dead on. It was just a little high.
I have the... Okay.
Dead on, just a little long. Let's see if it can go in.
Are you going to try this? The funny thing was,
and you go ahead, keep shooting. And
you're
going to
tell me
it.
You made it the first two
I
shots.
Didn't. I have never taken a shot.
Oh, really?
I got him for Jacob. At Christmas time.
Oh, that was good. I hit the backboard right
and it was like a little scavenger hunt, and he won money.
Yeah.
Because that's what we were going to give him for Christmas anyway, was money. And so he had to make one in 10 shots to win.
Oh, I made it!
Did you? Right there it is.
Woo!
You saw it live on Derek and George.
That didn't even hit the rim, baby. That one right through there.
And that's what Jacob did. We were going to give him money for Christmas anyway, so I thought instead of just giving him money, it might be fun to have different. And so he unwrapped these little gifts. And he had little things that he had to do. You got to make so many of these in so much time,
a guy could blow a lot of time during the day playing with it.
Well, here's the thing.
I used to love this football stuff.
When they get older, these things have some. I mean, especially if you've got a little.
Well, that's I've only played with paper that I made.
I know.
Before.
I mean,
I've
and
not
I'm
played with
you,
a,
you can,
that's like a hard foam
yes,
Nerfy kind
yes,
of football.
Yes. There's
the
two of them.
Thing for those of you in the listening audience.
And the thing is, and we've only got a few minutes here. We're going to go. But the thing is, you know, when they get older, there's not a lot of gifts under the trees. You just get them gift cards or whatever. I didn't want Christmas to be over, so I made I got these, and there was a whole list of games that he played to win money, and we still play them here in the studio. So you saw it right here on Blog Talk Radio or on YouTube. You saw it. You heard it on Blog Talk Radio. George made it within a matter of minutes. Hit a basket right there. We're proud of him. Hey, every Thursday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, you can listen to Derek and George Live right here on Blog Talk Radio. Go to DerekandGeorge.com. So for everybody here at the Road Less Traveled, for Jimbo, who is in the producer's booth doing a fantastic job, for George, for myself, the groundhog saw his shadow. No, didn't see his shadow. Which did he do? No, he saw his shadow and went back to his hole.
I did not pay attention.
He saw his shadow, went back in. 6 more weeks of winter, and even though that's the case, always remember, right here at Derek and George, we encourage you, sun's out.
Guns out.
God bless. See you next Thursday.